My Muscle Project, welcome back to another episode of In the Black number 59, where we basically give you the most valuable and free fitness business advice on the interwebs. Well, I don't know if it's the best, but it's definitely up there.
It's definitely on the interwebs.
Yeah, 100%. No, but today we have an extremely valuable podcast for you guys to do with growing gyms, growing a culture, kind of making your own rules. And it's kind of a cool story. So, today on the show, we have a long-time listener, Nerida Bint, who comes out of Newcastle, Australia, which is, how would you describe Newcastle? It's kind of like a northern hub for like mining, and it's quite a big town, very country.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
so it's a more regional area, but like as big a city as you can get in a regional area.
So, she has started a women's-only gym, which is something different for the show. And a really cool podcast. And I think the story of how she started it is something that you guys will be inspired by and get a lot of cool stuff out of to take into your own lives. And then, of course, the culture that she's setting and even some of the stuff that she talked about. You know, I was thinking to myself, this is a really good idea. It's a great way to do it. Something as simple as, you know, when two people come to the gym, she always splits them up because she doesn't want them. She wants them meeting new people at the gym and just not sticking with the person that they brought in, which is a really good idea. So, just stuff like that just trickled throughout this podcast. It's really good stuff. And actually, Nerida, off the back of the free resource that we've provided, started her own podcast. And quite a few people have been messaging us in about how to start your own podcast. So, we do have a 5-part video series on that. If you guys are interested, it's themindmuscleproject.com/startmypodcast, one word. So, you can go there and it's a free 5-part video series and it gives you everything you need from how to pick a name, how to upload videos, how to upload audio, how to cut it, how to level it, you know, how to put it on iTunes, all the way to like what gear you need and what gear we recommend for all different budgets. If you guys are interested in that, mymuscleproject.com/startmypodcast. Okay, Raph, who is sponsoring the show today?
So, this week we have Wattify. Wattify is the client management system that we use at the gym, and every single new member, it's one of the first things I sell them on. I'm like, hey, it's awesome here. The screens you can see when you walk in the gym, that's how we track your attendance. Mm-hmm. That's how we see if your squat numbers are getting better, and that's how we handle all your billing, everything all in one place. So, even from the client's perspective, it's like extra value you're giving. And they just launched a brand new app for the members. So, if you have clients at the gym and you've already got Wattify, you can get them to switch over to the new app. Or if you're on the fence, it's good to know that there is a really good app for your members to use now. So, rather than having like your own shitty app that costs a fortune, you just use the Wattify app. They can log into class, track their workouts, like other people's workouts, everything like that, keeping them engaged with the gym, all on the platform. So, if you go to wattify.com/MMP, you get 20% off a full year of Wattify.
It's amazing. Awesome. And then, guys, as well, the show is brought to you today by True Coach. True Coach is the best platform which you can use a program online or give a program online. So, if you have clients that you want to train overseas, whether they're overseas or you're overseas, you can't be together in person all year round, this is the software you need to be using. It's the best thing to track in terms of like progress and videos, and it's kind of using that same idea that we just spoke about with Wattify. It's just keeping a track of everything so you can measure your progress, because what's the saying? What doesn't get measured doesn't get moved, or whatever.
What gets measured gets managed.
Yeah, something like that. So, if you want to improve, you have to track these things. Yeah. It's literally the only way. Otherwise, you're just, you know, just swinging in the dark. So, truecoach.co/MMP. That is going to get you a free trial. And if after the trial you enjoyed it so much, which is 99.999% of people, I made that statistic up, but it's highly accurate, then you get a percentage off your next month. So, you can't lose. Eventually, they will have True Coach payments through the software. So, literally, one app in your phone can be used for...
It's your business.
Yeah, your entire business of online coaching, but also doing workouts. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So, truecoach.co/MMP for that offer. All right, guys, let's get into In the Black with Nerida Bint. All right, My Muscle Project, welcome back to another episode. This week, we have in the studio Nerida Bint of LISOM, and we just went over the meaning of LISOM. Now, LISOM is what you are hoping will be the next sort of women's only franchise sort of group fitness. So, we're going to dive into that, but I'm curious, how did you start in this sort of thing? I've watched a video on your story. You obviously have your own personal journey. It's how we all kind of start. But tell us a bit more about that.
So you mean my journey in fitness? Or
journey in fitness, yeah. And then how you transitioned to business.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Well, so I grew up a really sporty girl. I was a part of a surf lifesaving club. So I'd always just been fit by accident. I'd grown up around women of all different ages, shapes and sizes. I got into my into my 20s and traveled overseas with my partner, and I got a good dose of what they call the Heathrow injection. So
yeah.
I put on something like 25 kilos living overseas, wow. Like drinking and eating and never
and
exercising
long?
For 2 years, over 2 years.
Wow.
That's yeah. a great okay. fun though. Awesome.
Yeah. Years. Had a great time. Yeah. Great time. But, and I came back home and, you know, I was trying to like, I knew I wanted to get back into shape, but I was going to the gym and I was doing like spin classes and I was doing like those, you know, kind of, you know, classes, you know, aerobics classes and stuff like that.
Mm.
But I just couldn't shift. I couldn't shift the weight, and I thought I was eating healthy, like I was eating sandwiches and stuff like that, and I thought I was eating well. And anyway, it really, really got me down. Like you know, I was quite depressed about it. And my partner and I happened to buy a house across the road from a gym, from a CrossFit gym. And back then, this was like 8 years ago, 9 years ago, back before anyone even knew what that word meant. Mm. And I was just obsessed. I was watching these people through my window. I'd wake up early in the morning and I would see girls like flipping tires and
yeah.
running and swing kettlebells, you know, kettlebells. And I was just like, I want to do that. And I knew like they were all super fit and I knew like it would be hard for me, but I wasn't overly judgmental of myself. I just thought I just got to start somewhere and I'll get there. So I naively went over there. So this is really what I find ironic. I didn't have any hesitation. I just thought, oh, I'm just going to go and do that. Mm. Anyway, it was a day I'll never forget. I've got to be honest. I went in there and met the owner, and I remember walking into the gym and just thinking it was like something out of a Rocky movie. Like there were just people doing clean and jerks and just throwing down. It was just awesome. I was just amazed.
Yeah.
And I got chatting to the owner and I was super, like, I was just pumped and I was just ready to give him my money. Like, how do I sign up? Like, I was just like, how does this work? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah.
And I just remember noticing he was just very kind of skeptical and not really matching my level of enthusiasm. And he kind of looked me up and down and he said, "Darling, this is not for you."
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I, you know, so many people say, and that's the part where you went away and you found some other, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't. Like months went by and I remember watching them out of my window and just feeling like so sad, like just really like I so wanted to be a part of that.
Mm.
So I was really, I was bummed. And it was only by chance that I bumped into a friend at a barbecue on Australia Day and he'd lost about 15 kilos and he just looked amazing. And I was asking him all about his training and I'm like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm doing CrossFit." And I'm like, "Damn it. Like I really want to do that." But
they won't let me.
But it's only for like really fit people. And he's like, "No, it's not. Come with me to my gym. Like the owner's awesome." And I was just like, "No way." After a while, like a good hour of him convincing me, I kind of said to him, yeah, I'll come. In the back of my mind thinking, no chance.
Mm.
And we kind of made a loose plan to go the following Thursday. And that day, I just thought, I'll come up with an excuse why I can't go. And he sent me a message that morning saying, "Don't even think about bailing. I'll see you there at 5 p.m. And I just had this massive anxiety all day. So I went to the gym and pulled up and I could see all these people running and just thinking, "Oh, my God, what am I doing here? I don't belong here." Like, but anyway, something just kind of made me get out of that car and walk in there. And it was the polar opposite experience. It was walked in, the very first person that liked to see me came up and shook my hand. The owner came over and introduced himself to me, introduced me to five people straight away. The first workout was something like five rounds of 400-meter run, 20 kettlebell swings, 20 box jumps and 20 burpees. It was ridiculous. I'll never forget, like I was halfway around the oval and everybody was already in the gym like onto there. But I didn't care. Like I wasn't – I was just like, I just have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
But I remember the end of that workout, like everybody getting down and doing another set of burpees with me, like high-fiving me at the end. One lady hugged me and I was just like, you know, I was hooked.
Yeah, yeah.
So the owner said to me, "What are your goals?" And I said, "I really want to lose 20 kilos." And I was bawling as I said it. And he said, "Rightio, well, come along and sign up. Come to the gym 5 or 6 days a week and get yourself a nutrition plan and we'll, you know, we'll go from there." So at the time, Michelle Bridges, I just Googled anything. I didn't even really know who Michelle Bridges was, but she was running 12-week body transformations kind of 2 or 3 times a year, but you had to kind of start at a certain time. She just happened to have one starting the next week. So I signed up to that And literally 12 weeks to the day, I'd lost 21 kilos. Like the weight just fell off me because I was just never, I had never done that sort of stuff before, lifted weights, you know, run and been a part of a community. I just totally transformed. So I obviously just loved that, became, you know, yeah, just one of those fire breathers, loved it.
Full frother.
Full frother. Like, I was that person.
Nice.
But, you know, it was the community and the family that got me really into, like, kind of into it. But anyway, so as time, as, you know, things progress, I kind of worked on my health and fitness. And then, you know, I really realized I was in a relationship that I wasn't really meant to be in. So we part, like, you know, that kind of gave me the confidence to leave that relationship. Left that relationship, and then another 12 months later, it gave, you know, I really realized that what I was doing for work was not what I wanted to do. But I didn't even know I was wanted to be a trainer. I just one day was on my way to work, and I just had this same sick feeling in my stomach. And I was driving, and I just pulled over the side of the road, and I called my boss, and I was just like, I'm done. Like, I can't do this anymore.
What were you doing?
So I used to work for a waste management company.
Okay.
And I loved the company. I loved the people. I had total autonomy. Like, I could, you know, I would travel around Newcastle and the Hunter, had my own time.
Yeah.
Didn't really have to be there, check in and check out. So yeah. It was a great kind of role, but it was just, I just knew there was something more. Like, yeah. And he was kind of like thinking I was going to a competitor, or he was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I have no idea. And he's like, when he finally got his head around the fact that I wasn't coming back, he said, you know what you should do? You should go and be a PT. And I just laughed at him. I was like, no one's going to want to pay me to PT them. Mm. And that just went over my head. A couple months later, I just took a few months off, and I was kind of just bumming around at the beach, just, you know, just living by on minimal dollars.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point where I was like, right, I really need to find a job. Like, I need something. I'll just go and get a job waitressing just to kind of cover me until I figure out who I want to be when I grow up. And I had driven down this street like thousands of times, Derby Street, like our main kind of coffee. And I had my resume in my car, and I was driving down, and out of the blue, like, I just noticed this women's only supplement store. And I was like,
interesting.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know anything about supplements, but I can make smoothies. Like, they did smoothies and stuff like that.
Mm.
And that just changed the course of my life. So I walked in there, got chatting to the owner. She didn't have any work. She said, we don't make enough money to employ people. And I was really bummed out. But she said, well, and obviously she was asking me about my training. And I was like, CrossFit, this and that. She was like, well, why don't you start a boot camp? Like, why don't you, you know? And I was like, well, I'm not a PT. I don't have any gear, and I don't know anyone that will come and do it.
Yeah.
And she said, well, look, I've got my Cert 3 and 4 in fitness. I'll run it and you can help me. I've got a couple of slam balls and skipping ropes, and I've got a list of 10 names we can text and just see. So that night I went home, texted 10 people, and on the following Monday, 8 turned up.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and then it just grew from there. It went from being a boot camp 3 days a week to the girls asking me for programming on their other days when they'd go to the gym because they wanted to, you know, do the stuff that I was doing with them. So then I'd say to them, well, why don't you come to my CrossFit gym and train with me on those days? And they were just like, no way.
Hmm.
And that's when I got thinking, well, what would – you know, a gym be like that didn't have that stigma that was associated with it. And it was just women's only. There was no threatening, you know, nothing to kind of intimidate women. We then just like, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. I ran the boot camp for free to try and build my numbers up. I went and worked and, you know, earned money to kind of get some money behind me. And then I was doing my Cert 3 and 4 in fitness at the same time. And so that was 6 months later, we opened our first site in Ties Hill, which was about 90 square meters. It was tiny.
That's small, yeah.
Tiny. I had 3 barbells. I had like tiny little rig. But we opened with like 55 members, and then we got to like 100 pretty quickly. We outgrew that. We moved to Carrington 2.5 years ago. And yeah, we're at 165 members now. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's just been this thing that just has kept growing and yeah, way beyond anything that I would have expected.
That's awesome. How have you differentiated yourself besides the women's only gym? Is it just a women's only gym that is basically a CrossFit gym with just women in it? Or are there other things that you've done that you feel like are unique to Lissome?
Oh, 100%. My biggest focus is on the community connection and all inclusivity. That's like I heard Ben Bergeron say on one of his podcasts that – you know, culture, if you don't feel like you're annoying the shit out of people by talking to them about something, then it's doesn't exist. And so, and I do, I feel like I'm constantly, you know, promoting the high fives, constantly asking girls to like mix up and introduce themselves to new girls. I'm constantly seeing new faces rock up at the gym, and I'm going up to someone saying, hey, can you go up there and be her buddy and introduce yourself to her and, you know, be her little friend on her first day. And all of our coaches do that too. I definitely think that separates us. And I, you know, yeah, 100%. I would honestly back myself and say we have the strongest community that you will ever see.
Mm. And then integral to that is the coaches. How have you hired coaches? Have you made mistakes hiring coaches? Have you got the same coaches you started with? How do you choose them? What's the hiring process?
Oh, we've definitely made mistakes. And what I think now I've figured out is that I don't really care what qualifications you've got. I don't care what kind of athlete you are. That doesn't, you know, that is, you know, it's disregarding of how good a coach you can be. What matters to me is whether you want to be a part of our community and whether you live and breathe it. So we've had women approach me and our gym about becoming coaches. And one of the things I really live by is every single coach has to train with a group every day. Like, and you know, you get those girls that want to do their own thing and just jump in on a class.
Mm.
I hate that term because it's like, you know, and I heard, you know, you hear people talk about it all the time, like Jason Kalipa. I heard him talk about, you know, if you're not training with the group, you're like a restaurant owner that's selling food and you don't even eat, you're not even eating your own food.
Mm.
And I agree with that. It frustrates the hell out of me when I see gyms with people, you know, that don't, the coaches that don't train with the group, because, you know, your people absolutely want to train next to you and they want, like, they, it gives them the biggest high, and especially in a partner ward when, you know, you've got to like jump in and be their buddy. You know, that's something that I will not like negotiate now. And, you know, I expect a lot from them. Like, they've got to come to Saturday morning breakfast. That happens every week. You know, we go to, we have social events once a month. Like, they've got to come. Like, I honestly, you know, I don't want anyone that's a coach that doesn't want to be a part of that, because, you know, we look after them, we pay them well, we have a great kind of, you know, environment, and I only want people that are really invested in that. So moving forward, and what we tend to do is employ from within. So it's generally been girls that have come through the ropes and we've identified as, you know, kind of being, becoming little leaders within our community. We then put them through a little internship program, and that's been working really well.
Mm.
Yeah, the lifestyle factor is something we've noticed as well, is that, you know, the coaches that really buy into the lifestyle and they're like, yeah, you know, I love it here, I love the whole thing, I do it every day, but I really enjoy it. They kill it so much more than the coach that maybe tries to completely separate it from everything else and maintain a different lifestyle.
Totally. And you know what? Like, you know, I get it. Like, you're at the gym every day. Mm. Come Saturday or Sunday, you don't, you know, you might want to just do your own thing. Yeah. You might want to just sleep in and not go to that Saturday morning breakfast. Like, I get that. And for a long time, it was me facilitating that every time. And it was draining, but now I'm in a point where I've created these other, you know, seven or eight coaches that can do that, and I can take a step back. But, you know, and I still go whenever I can. I kind of have a week on, week off rule. So 1 week I'll go, the next week I won't. Yeah. And I go back and forth. It's a bit harder now. We're about to open our second site. I'm doing that a lot more, but I'll just take a day off through the week. Like, I view Saturdays, like, we roster our coaches on for 3 hours. So you've got to coach an hour class, and then 2 hours of your rostered time is taking the girls for breakfast and being at breakfast and socializing and making sure that no one's left out, working the room. Like, it's psycho with the way I coach my trainers to go in, look at a group of girls sitting down at a table. Who here is not engaged in conversation? Your responsibility is to get up, move around, introduce them to people so that they don't feel like they're, you know, separate. Because there's a really good saying I heard recently that was, it's not enough to be invited to the party, you've got to be invited to dance. And I live by, I think that's so true. Like, you can't just expect people to turn up. You've got to actually engage in with them and bring them in.
Mm. So what's your onboarding process to bringing a girl into this? Because, you know, if a comprehensive onboarding process will make sure that you filter out the girls that don't want to be there, right? If you're trying to engage someone that you don't really know wants to be there, and they're putting all this pressure on, person's like, I'm an antisocial person, can you just fuck off, you know? It's like, oh, shit, maybe we shouldn't have got this person in the first place.
Oh, as in coaches or members?
No, as in members, yeah. So how do you sort of filter for that in the beginning when girls inquire?
We probably don't have as lengthy a process as we could.
Okay.
But I think everything we put out on our social media, in our podcast, you know, I think you only have to kind of become a little bit familiar with us to know that's what we're all about. So, and don't get me wrong, like, there are plenty of girls that come and train that don't come to the Saturday morning breakfast. Like, they have their families or they do their thing, and that's totally fine. Like, but it's there for anyone that wants it.
Right.
So on your first session, you'll be buddied up with one, like, your first friend, and that person will be responsible for showing you around the gym, taking you through our kitchen, toilets, bathroom, showers, you know, bringing you out, taking you through the warm up, like, helping you go through that process.
The member is responsible.
Yeah, we have like little leaders in every single class that we have. We have like little leaders that are responsible for any new people that are coming in on that class to buddy up with them and take them around. And they're our influencers. Like they're our little, you know, and they love that role. It makes them feel really important and a part of our community and like a respected part of it. So
how do they get that role?
Well, we kind of identify certain people that are consistently there at those times that are generally already doing it, you know, like generally kind of pretty friendly, pretty open and have an active interest in growing the gym and seeing new people come in and improve. So
how do you have that conversation? You're like, hey, congratulations, here's the influencer badge. Now I expect this from you, or how does that work?
Well, we do a little workshop every year or every 6 months where we kind of sit down, we nominate certain people and we sit down and we workshop with them and we ask them for feedback. And we kind of just ask them if they'd like to be, you know, if they would like to kind of be that person within our community. And I've never had anyone say no yet. And they're all chuffed and they come along and we have this beautiful breakfast and, you know, we sit down and we, you know, we talk about our values and all sorts of stuff. It's pretty relaxed. Like they're not obviously coaching. They're just, you know, being that friend, that very first friend that that person meets when they come in.
Right.
Because we get a lot of girls that, like, it's interesting because women are so intimidated to go into any gym. But they're still so intimidated to go into a women's only gym. So they'll often come with a friend and we're straight away break them up. Like we want them to have their own, like, you know, connections, not have to rely on each other. So straight away, as soon as we see two people walk in, I'm all about split those two girls up. I don't even want them to see each other in this session and for the first week. We want them because if one of them has a bad experience or if one of them's a little bit overwhelmed, that can sometimes have an effect on the other. You know what I mean? So it's like we want them to have their own kind of, you know, place in our community.
Mm.
It's interesting. Yeah. I think every gym probably has those people already that help out, but you've just acknowledged it.
Yeah.
Giving them that acknowledgement so they're more happy to do it and like formalized it.
Yeah, definitely. We've just kind of, made it a thing, like process, you know, kind of. But yeah, we don't have like an onboarding. We have just recently introduced a beginner's class on the first Saturday of each month, which has been working really well. So we will continue to do that where it's just a smaller group, a dialed down version of the workout, and then just a little bit more time to kind of work through things. So, but we still have our intro offer every week where people can come in and try it out. And that's been our, that's been really kind of successful for us. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Right. That's awesome. Mm. And so what are the next steps? Cause you know, you mentioned you're opening a second site.
Yep.
Like any business owner, you start to realize I can't be here and run the show anymore. So a lot of the things that you've explained so far are very like you intensive, very hands-on intensive, right? You're passing now those values to your coaches so they can, you know, maintain what you want them to when you're not there. What else is next after that? Like after the second site, third site, where do you see your role and then where do you see the whole thing going?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely something that's overwhelming and I, you know, kind of sometimes I can freak myself out about it as to how big I want this to really be. But, the one thing that I will say is I've never put myself up on a pedestal. There are two things to this kind of business that I love. It's the membership side and it's connecting with the community and seeing those little friendship circles grow. But then there's also developing these women within the business that are stepping into these roles where they love coming to work every day. So I'm constantly putting them up on pedestals in our community and people don't like I could not turn up for a month and the gym would still run just, you know, probably better if I didn't turn up. Like every time I go on holidays, you know, I've got a head coach and an assistant coach and they are so empowered and so they run it so well and they get my culture. They know my values so well that I'm so confident I could walk away and just, it would continue on. But in saying that, like, yeah, so at the moment I am focusing a lot on our second site in Maitland. But, you know, I think for me, the three of us, like the three leaders will kind of, you know, have a lot to do with that site until that's up and running as well, as much as I feel confident to walk away from that and then do the third one and so on. So we are starting to do it, like take some time now to really formalize our processes and everything, like from the day you kind of come in and open the door to running a session. And like what our process is so in depth, it's not so much just running a class and the logistics of turning on the lights, turning on the fans and music, all that sort of stuff. But it's also like the presentation of the gym. Like I take a really high, opinion of wanting to make sure the gym looks amazing every time because women love beautiful things. So we have fresh flowers in our bathrooms all the time. We try to, like, we have it cleaned every day. We make sure that the gym floor is spotless, everything's put away. Like it's, you know, the whole space is beautiful. But then there's also the social side. Like it's, you know, I always say to my coaches, the 10 minutes before and after a session are your most important. What happens in that hour is secondary to me. I want to see you actively walking around that room and creating those little bonds. And So yeah, like it's, I don't know, we'll see how we go, but I am confident that we can do it and that I've got the right team and that people will step up when they need to.
Confident that you can step away yourself, or yeah, confident you can open three sites, or both?
Both, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm really confident. Like, honestly, like, I'm the least kind of... I've got the big dream and the ideas, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, the girls around me are so far beyond... Like, they're just so incredible. They're so knowledgeable, enthusiastic, and driven. Like, I just know that as soon as I put them in the into those positions, they're going to thrive. So that's what I want to see them. I want to see them running their, and building their own little communities.
And do you plan on the third site staying in this sort of upper New South Wales area?
Yeah. So we'll go to Maitland and then we'll go to Terrigal, so Central Coast.
Yep.
And I think we'll just get the three humming along and see how that goes and then make a decision from there, whether we franchise the business out or whether I want to reinvest and kind of grow the company. I'm not really sure where we'll be at then, but I just want to make sure I kind of have three and I know that I can do it and it's, you know, that can stand up on its own and make a decision from there.
It's interesting because most sort of these franchises, they start in major cities and like this is sort of the opposite, right? It's these small country, well, Newcastle's not that small, but smaller country sort of communities. And right, do you think that your business model lends itself better to that? Have you thought much about that? Do you think it would scale to a major city?
I've definitely thought a lot about that. I think we will try and stick to more regional areas.
Yep.
You know, and it's not even about the competition. I've got 25 gyms within 2 kilometers of me right now. People are always saying to me, oh, there's already so much there. I don't care. Like, if you go in and you do what you do well, you'll get the people. Like, I'm not bothered by that. But, yeah, I definitely think we will stick to more regional areas. And it's more for me the risk. Like, obviously, in a city is more, like, higher in costs and stricter kind of, you know, all rules and regulations. So, you know, I'm just so green to all of that. So I think for now, after Terrigal, I would possibly think about Port Macquarie. That would be my next area. Mm. And then we'll see from there.
Yeah, that's cool. No, yeah. That's exciting.
Very exciting.
What do you do for marketing? Because I think that's obviously one thing that maybe the women on this podcast are listening to, and you want to obviously attract women, but you know, you can't just go and do necessarily as very general marketing. You're going to lend it towards, you know, women's issues and their problems and your avatar. So what do you kind of go at with the marketing?
Our method, our philosophy, you mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think this day and age, I think it's becoming a bit more spoken about now, but women are riddled with this expectation that they're valued on the way that they look. So, I mean, you could talk to any woman and she's always so like, you know, critical of her thighs or her, you know, her arms or her tummy. Like every single woman I speak to, and it's because society is putting this ideal body up on a pedestal and saying, we want you, you know, if you don't look like this, then you're not valued within society. You know, you're not equal. Like you're not, we're going to value on that. And that really, like that has been my driving kind of motivator because all that we do is talk about women, accepting women and valuing them for what they can do, not so much what they look like. So I love this sort of sport for women. Like it's the first time that you'll go into a gym and see women wearing crop tops and booty shorts of all shapes and sizes. It's the first time you'll see women like deadlifting 120 kilos and, you know, she could be any shape or size and all these other girls are just going, oh my goodness, she's amazing, like idolizing her. And it's just amazing to see how empowered women can be when they're valued on that, rather than that girl walking down the street might not have had anyone look at her or think anything of her because she's not outstandingly attractive. But in our gym, in that space, she's got 30 chicks that idolize her.
Hmm.
And I think that's the only, like, that's all that I do. I just highlight what our members do and what they're achieving and how much we look up to them and respect them for that. And everybody just jumps on board and loves it. I think it's the first time that women can kind of relate to that and kind of go, thank God, like that, you know, we can feel like we can come into this space and just, you know, be ourselves and be, you know, valued for that and loved for that.
Yeah, that's super cool. I think that's very noble that you're doing that. Unfortunately, it just doesn't seem to matter in the major cities. Yeah, people just prey on their insecurities like no tomorrow, and it's quite sad.
I think you just get a better dollar per click when you do.
It's true, unfortunately. But no, it's good that you are doing that sort of stuff. I mean, it needs to happen. But people just get so swallowed up into the status thing and the looks and everyone walking around them and stuff. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I have noticed that. Like when I go into cities, you know, and it even taps into my, like kind of my own insecurities.
No one's safe about that.
Yeah. I walk in and I see all these women like, you know, shredded. And it's interesting, like even just today coming down here, I kind of smile. Whenever I'm walking towards someone, if they're looking at me, I'll just smile.
That's super creepy.
I know.
So Newcastle.
So weird. People in Newcastle smile back, but yeah, in Sydney they don't.
No, they don't.
It's so strange.
It's very...
Sydney will arrest you.
Yeah, it's actually... tragic. Yeah. it's super tragic. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I want to start something like a smile, like wear a shirt, like smile, like a smile, you know, smile at me. Like, and this is the thing, like, we're just lacking connection these days. Like, we're more connected than ever, but we're really lacking that one on one, like, group connection. And I mean, you guys would see it in your gym, like, how empowering that is. And, you know, yeah. So I just want to see more of that. And I'm really passionate about that and breaking that down. And I mean, I know what you mean about the whole, you know, that people preying on, you know, the results side thing. Cause I know that whenever we post a photo of a transformation that a girl has, as much as I hate doing that because it almost goes against our values, I do it because it does get people interested. So I have this idea where I mix the two. I use that to get them in. And then when I get them in, we show them, we do everything else. It's like, okay, 100%. Forget that. We're going to teach you how to be fit and strong. And what I love is when women first start, we ask them what their goals are. It's like always, oh, I want to lose this many kilos. I want to fit into this size dress. I want to be this, you know,
I want to
this
look
weight.
This person.
Yeah. It's always like the numbers and it's like, you know, and then you ask them 6 months later, they've usually gotten those results, but it's like, what do you want to achieve? What are your goals now? It's like, oh, I want to be able to back squat my body weight. I want to be able to run 5K without stopping. I want to be able to do a pull up. Like, it's that sort of stuff. And that's what I love. And that's what I'm always going to spend my time promoting. Like that, you know, forget that. Develop a better relationship with yourself. You know, get fit and strong and, you know, eat wholesome, nutritious food. Be a part of a community. Connect, you know, and, you know, develop. But, you know, kind of try and just shake that whole stigma that we all need to look like the next supermodel.
Because
the reality is you're not going to. You've got a certain body shape. Like, you just need to learn to embrace that. And the sooner you do, better your life is going to be. Because women, like, I see women in their 50s and 60s still being hard on themselves. I'm like, how long have you had that tummy fat for? Why are you still going on about that? Why don't you just accept it and move on?
No, that's super cool. Yeah, I think maybe a good place to wrap is to tell us about your podcast and what you're doing with that to kind of promote the brand and, you know, maybe franchise and, you know, serve your brand in the future.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me personally, like I'm just an avid podcast listener. I mean, I've been a big fan of yours for a long time, so thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
And, you know, I just find it's, you know, a great way to find information and, you know, just to connect with people. And I'm always like shoving podcast episodes down my girls' throats, you know, constantly. So I suppose I just wanted to have a platform to be able to invite people on and share, like, so we'll be doing a mix of like people that can give value to our audience. So like, you know, dietitians and physiotherapists and doctors and all sorts of stuff, but then also putting a cool spotlight on some of our members' stories and what they've achieved and what they're doing. And then also just kind of slowly, gradually educating our audience on all the stuff that we're probably interested in, that self-development and that growth and that becoming more of a growth mindset that you take for granted a lot of people just aren't even open to because they don't hang out with people that are talking about that sort of stuff. So it's all about just creating your best self. And it's another way to get into people's ears without actually being on social media. And they can, we can talk to them, connect, and hopefully develop another kind of relationship with them rather than just seeing us online. So it's the Lasson podcast, if I can give you a plug,
Go for it.
It's only really new. So, the Lasson podcast, we're on Spotify and iTunes. So,
nice.
Yeah, definitely hop on and have a listen.
That's cool. Awesome. All right. Narita, thanks so much for being on. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I had such a good time.
Awesome. Thanks.